You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio, joined on this edition by Laurie Whitwell, the Midlands football correspondent for the Daily Mail, to preview the five televised games in the Premier League this weekend. First of all, a warm welcome to Laurie. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, Dave. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. I suppose it's a bit of a weird situation covering Midlands football at the moment, because Claudio Ranieri on cloud nine months ago, but now there's a little bit of pressure on him.
Yes, there's been some reports emanating out from various places that the camp isn't totally unified, and obviously Claudio sort of moved to quash those suggestions, but there's certainly at least a few questions being asked of certain decisions that he's making and teams that he's picking, and which I suppose is to be expected when you're down at the bottom and losing matches. Obviously the owners sort of reacted very swiftly to that actually early in the week, probably sooner than I kind of would have imagined, but I think they wanted to kind of nip anything in the bud immediately, and obviously issued that statement quite strongly worded that they were had his unwavering support still. I think that might also have been as much for us, which is what Claudio said in the press conference that immediately followed the issuing of that statement, as much for us as for the players. You know, anybody that might be thinking a little bit like, you know, Claudio might be on his way should just sort of get any of those thoughts out of their head and kind of concentrate on the job in hand, which obviously trying to win points and get out of the scrap at the bottom. But it is a bit of a remarkable turnaround. I remember doing, you know, press conferences at the time last season when the only questions were, you know, if they could sustain the form that they were on and win the title. It's obviously totally opposite this time.
Do you think he's impossible to sack, Claudio Ranieri?
I've ruminated over this one for a few months, to be honest. The heart in me says there's no way, because the guy won the title with a team that, you know, fighting relegation the season before, with a club that was never ever supposed to win the title, and you know, never will do again in all likelihood. 5,000-1 shots that they were. So you kind of think he could take a team down and still deserve to be the manager. And I think if everybody was totally pulling his direction, that would certainly be the case, that you find support from that. The only question that arises is everybody definitely, you know, in support of him? Is he doing absolutely everything correctly to get this team out of the slump? And that's sort of the question mark, really. And that's the only reason why you could possibly sack him, I think, you know, as we go into the end of the season. As I say, the club are absolutely insistent that they won't do. And I think they do have the kind of the public perception of a club quite high up in their minds, and they're dignified people, the owners, and they respect obviously incredibly what he's done. And also the fans are still with him, as we saw on Wednesday night. I was at the ground for the Derby FA Cup replay, and the fans unprompted, you know, came out with the chant for Ranieri, and it was sort of about 4 or 5 minutes, and he responded in kind with a wave. So there's no reason there for the owners to then react and get rid of him, because the fans aren't calling for his head to. Certainly. So I think for the time being, he's going to be the guy in position, and we'll see on Sunday whether the statement from the owners has had the desired impact.
The next Premier League manager to leave market is available on the William Hill website. Ito Karanka is 7-4 favourite in that market. Ranieri, just a couple of steps up the ladder behind him, in fact. 2-1 he is to be next manager to leave. No manager to leave is in the market at 6-1 for the rest of the season. Claude Puel and Sam Allardyce and Walter Mazzarri all 10-1, and it's 12-1 and bigger the rest. Let's talk about this weekend's football then, Laurie, and we'll start with the game between Arsenal and Hull. This is Saturday, 12:30, and Arsenal are 100-30 on to win the game. The draw 9-2, Hull in the betting at 10-1. It appears to be same old Arsenal, doesn't it? They get to a certain point in the season and don't capitulate, but just drift away in the background almost, Arsenal. They've lost back-to-back Premier League games now, and Hull have found some sort of spark under Marco Silva.
Yes, and I mean, I think when Marco Silva arrived, everybody was sort of, you know, a little bit dubious as to whether he had the ability to kind of get anything out of this squad, and also why would he want to get involved in this situation, given the fact that obviously the ownership is so, the situation with the owners is so tempestuous. From the first press conference, I remember speaking to people and they were saying they were impressed with his demeanour and how calm and assured he looked. And then speaking to others who actually are around the sort of playing side of things, they kind of come back with the same message that no stone is left unturned in terms of preparation. He carries the air, the authority of a guy who knows what he's doing, and that obviously emanates out to his team. And we've seen the performances. I mean, the one against Liverpool was spot on, wasn't it, in terms of doing the job that they needed to do to get the win. Obviously, Liverpool were frustrated and probably not at their best, but equally, Hull were very organised, weren't allowing them any spaces, and then, you know, took their chances very well when they did arrive. So it's going to be an interesting one at the Emirates. You can kind of see the crowd, you know, obviously on that precipice again as we come into February, March time, as they always seem to be, given the frustration to that club for so many years in terms of the Premier League. And you can kind of almost imagine it getting to 40 minutes maybe at 0-0 and Hull, sort of, as we saw against Liverpool, sticking in and doing the job that's required, and maybe that, you know, breeds anxiety in the stands and on the pitch. And I don't know, it looks a price, I don't know, for Hull to maybe nick a draw, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a big price for Hull to nick a draw in the game. They're actually 10-1 to win the match, 9-2 for the draw. The bet that, or the price that surprises me, is under 2.5 goals is a big price at 13-8 here. And I think, like you just mentioned, now you can see Hull keeping it very tight and Arsenal getting more and more frustrated in the match.
Well, I was just looking at sort of Hull's previous results. Obviously, they got a 0-0 at Old Trafford. They beat Liverpool 2-0. So, you know, and they beat United 2-1 in the EFL Cup as well. So they've managed to keep them. They even only lost 2-0 at Stamford Bridge when Harry Maguire obviously had that standout game. And he's obviously come into his own in this period of time. I think people are noticing how good a defender he is, both in terms of blocking, attacking moves, and then starting Hull's own, you know, moves into midfield. And yeah, I think that's a good price, really, to get below 2.5 goals, because, I mean, Arsenal haven't, you know, they've not been, you know, setting the world alight attacking wise. Obviously, it took them until sort of injury time to score the goal at Stamford Bridge the other week. So I think that's not a bad bet to have.
Let's talk about Liverpool versus Spurs, because this game kicks off at 5:30 on Saturday. This is the big game of the weekend in many ways. Liverpool are 13-10 to win it. The draw 11-5. Tottenham 12-5. Maybe not as big as it might have been had Chelsea not been 9 points clear at the top of the Premier League. But both these teams have top four pretensions at the very least. But Liverpool, just one win in their last 10. And one stat that's doing the rounds this weekend, which I think is a fun stat. It doesn't tell the whole tale, but Jurgen Klopp has an identical record to Brendan Rodgers in his opening 54 Premier League games as Liverpool manager. Won 26, drawn 16 and lost 12. I think Rodgers, he had Luis Suarez with him when he was manager. So it's sort of kind of misleading, that stat, I think.
Yeah, it's a fun one, isn't it? I suppose we had those with David Moyes, didn't we? And then Van Gaal and Mourinho, and obviously they kind of got worse almost. I think Mourinho's first, I can't remember how many number of games it was, but he had a worse record after those two. But in terms of Liverpool and Brendan Rodgers and Jurgen Klopp, I suppose the fans at the end of Rodgers' reign wanted a new guy, and Klopp came in and was all that, and you know, with his personality and then the way that his team started the season. I mean, I was at Anfield for the opening of the new main stand when Leicester came to town, and back then Leicester were still the defending champions in a sort of serious way, and they got torn apart, and Liverpool were just so brilliant in terms of their movement and sort of creativity, and it could have been more. And that day, I think Kasper Schmeichel said that, you know, if another team finishes above them, then they'll probably be the champions. So he certainly left impressed, and I did. And this sort of run that they're on now is kind of so alien to what we saw at the start of the season. And I guess it's just a combination of Sadio Mane obviously going off to the African Cup of Nations, not coming, you know, back perhaps full throttle just yet. Firmino struggling to you know, score the goals. They look a bit flat, which is certainly not what you would have described them as at the start of the season. And I wonder if Klopp's obviously got his team running a lot, which, to be fair, is what Sean Dyche always says that he does at Burnley without the same kind of credit. But he's not had a winter break this time, whereas obviously at Dortmund he had that break. And maybe his style requires a rest in the middle of the season, because they certainly do seem to be struggling to kind of create the same intensity that they did at the start of the season. And yeah, I mean, Spurs are the opposite of that, I suppose. You know, Pochettino's had a few years to hone his methods in England anyway, and gets them sort of running around for a more sustained period of time. So yeah, again, I mean, you look at the results that Liverpool have had, losing at home to Wolves, losing at home to Southampton, losing at home to Swansea, that one win being away at Plymouth, wasn't it, I think, in the two,
yeah,
when he was fielding a load of kids. It looks another tough one for them. Tottenham at home, you wouldn't fancy, would you?
Do you think Spurs might win it then? 12-5 Spurs. They're unbeaten in 11 Spurs, but they've maybe lacked a little bit of a cutting edge recently.
Yeah. When was the last? I mean, have they gone to a sort of a big team and kind of won in a convincing manner? I suppose they went to City, didn't they, last year, and around this time, actually, I think, and won in a big way. So maybe this is their chance, and I could see them actually seizing that and thinking, you know, we do have Chelsea in our sights a little bit, or, you know, wanting to actually beat Arsenal in the position and end St. Totteringham Day for the first time. You know, at least they've got that as a carrot. So, I could well see them leaving Anfield with a win.
Yeah, I think two of their best performances this season have come against the big teams, albeit at home against Chelsea. That was a fantastic performance back in the start of January. And performance... I think that was the Man City one. Those have been their two best performances this season, I think, for Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they totally tore apart City that game, didn't they? And then, yeah, again, the Chelsea one, they found the hole in the armoury that no one else had found in that sort of 13-game run. Mm-hmm. Sort of the crosses and Dele Alli picking up. So I can see Tottenham just seem a bit more comfortable with themselves at the moment, obviously winning those games, you know, going to places, scoring a lot of goals. I do fear that this could be another one for Liverpool.
Burnley versus Chelsea is Sunday, 1:30. Burnley 7-1 to win the game. The draw 7-2, with Chelsea in the market at 4-9. Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 12-1, now 16-1. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 6-4, now 2-1. Chelsea have the best away record in the league, but Burnley, their home record, only behind Spurs and Chelsea in the amount of points they've picked up in the league this season. 28 points they've picked up at Turf Moor, Burnley. Sean Dyche has done an amazing job there. He really has. But Chelsea, just look, they're obviously not invincible, but they look invincible.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right. To echo what you said about Sean Dyche, I think if he... You know, I mean, he's going to keep Burnley safe, isn't he? And I think if he finishes anywhere near where they are at the moment, sort of 12th, 11th, I know they're top half for a fleeting moment, anything like that, I think he'd be with a really good shot of being named Manager of the Year. I know Conte's obviously worked miracles himself, but as you said, I think it's 9 wins out of the 13 they've had, and I know a lot of those have been quite late wins actually as well, so Chelsea really have to guard against that, I think, thinking that maybe they've got a point or a win, if it's a slender one, until late in the game. They always seem to just do it, don't they, Burnley at home? They get the free kick, or the kind of, they've had a few scruffy ones that have you know, been the winners. I know against Leicester, Sam Vokes, and they obviously look like a handball. So they do seem to get that look that they don't get, I think, away from home. But I know that speaking to people, that they that their players are extremely confident, even of this one, where you think, okay, Chelsea, they might look at it and go, okay, we'd take a point, but they genuinely believe that they can beat anybody at home, and this is just another sort of, you know, tantalising task for them. So I don't know, it's difficult though. But I mean, Chelsea are so sort of comfortable at the moment. They know the roles, don't they, as a team. I could possibly see a draw if I'm allowed to sit on the fence.
Yeah, definitely. 7-2, the draw in the game. I just have a quick word on N'Golo Kante, because you'll have seen a lot of him last season. He's moved to Chelsea, and he almost he does everything under the radar, N'Golo Kanté. You don't see him like Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard rehearsing goal celebrations in the dressing room. You could never imagine Kanté doing that, could you?
No, he just drives up in his Mini and he's happy with that. You know, he sort of shuns the supercars, and I think he was sort of cycling to Leicester training at the start of the season when he first joined. Very quiet, yeah. Everybody that knew him at Leicester was very complimentary about him. Just lovely lad, kept himself to himself pretty much, but you know, always had a smile on his face, which is bizarre given the role that he has. It's such an important one and can be destructive, but also, as I think we've seen this season, a bit more positive in an attacking sense. And that is, you know, as you said, that's what Leicester have missed hugely. I mean, it is amazing to think it's just that one player that has been taken out of the team. And I know there's other contributing factors, but he is such a good player that it not only sort of lessened the protection that Wes Morgan and Robert Huth enjoyed last season, but also took away that transition, that quick transition that Leicester enjoyed, you know, giving the ball fast to Vardy and Mahrez to sort of spring these counter-attacks. So obviously that's what Chelsea have benefited from this season. I think he's a great player, and he wasn't in the sort of main thrust of the Player of the Year awards last season, but I think his continued presence to be a key part of a title-winning team, it surely sees him. You know, nobody else has done that, have they? You know, won back-to-back titles at the Premier League level with two different teams in a serious way. So I think he really does deserve to go down in history for what he's done these last two seasons.
Yeah, I agree. Swansea versus Leicester we'll talk about next. And this is 4 p.m. on Sunday. Swansea 6-4 to win the game. The draw 11-5 with Leicester in the betting at 21-10. Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 3-1. Now 4-1. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 19-5. Now 5-1. Mentioned Vardy there as part of that enhanced odds offer. What's happened with Jamie Vardy this season? Because from the outside looking in, you see a player last year who swept all before him, was sensational in attack, had that burst of pace. Have teams found him out this season, or is he not playing in the same style or manner?
It's probably a bit of both, isn't it? I mean, at the start of last season, nobody thought much of him, so he wasn't given any kind of real attention, I think, to begin with. And he obviously went on his run, and then the team kind of, there was this wave of wanting to get him past that record, so it kind of carried on from there. And I spoke to Kevin Phillips at the time, and he was his coach the season before, and he said that his finishing had improved dramatically from when he used to get through on goal and just hammer it. He then was last season was sort of placing it a bit more, and I think the opportunities have diminished hugely this season because of Kante's departure, and then obviously other people perhaps not getting him those chances, and likewise when he's getting those chances, perhaps he's a little bit falling back onto the kind of stuff that he used to do earlier in his career. So he'll go for power rather than precision too much, and maybe that's, you know, costing him a few goals here and there. But like I say, the chance creation isn't all there. Whether that is him not running around as much, or I think he still, you know, you look at him and he still does do that kind of work, but sometimes the support perhaps isn't quite there. I certainly know that before the Man City game where he scored his hat-trick, obviously, which was a brilliant hat-trick, which kind of we thought that's him and Leicester back to what we know. People were saying to him, you need to get more nasty, which was what obviously a major character trait of his from last season. And I think he kind of did that. He enjoyed that against Man City's defenders. And maybe that's a little element that he could bring back again, obviously, without going too far. As we saw against Stoke, he got the red card, which I think was a bit unfortunate. But I think it's a difficult one to put your finger on because he sort of spent such a long time in non-league than to get to the Premier League. He's always met the challenges. So I still wouldn't write him off sort of reprising that kind of sort of streak that he got at the start of last season to end this season, because he does still have it in him as long as the chances do come. He's, like I say, he needs space in behind to run into and get on the end of things, and at the moment that's just not coming.
Difficult game against Swansea as well, this one for Leicester, because Swansea have turned things around slightly under Paul Clement. He's done a good job. They've got Gylfi Sigurdsson as well, who is a fantastic player. What's your prediction for this game, Laurie?
Really, really tough one to call. And I don't know if I can show my face in the press room if I say they're going to get beat and then they go and win it. I love Gylfi Sigurdsson, by the way. I agree with you. I think he's a fantastic player, and surely this summer, one of the kind of, you know, top six, top seven might have a look at him. Maybe he's not quite up there because he tried it at Spurs, didn't he, and didn't work out for him. But you can see somebody going in for him because I do think he's worth a higher sort of level than being scrapping for survival with Swansea. It's such a tough one. Miran Ranieri obviously gave them the week off, to the main players the week off. And he'll go back to, you know, the 4-4-2. I think that, you know, he knows from last season without too many tweaks. Damari Gray, I thought, looked really good against Derby, and he's another player that I think is great, and he's only 20, so he'll get better. He might start him.
He should start him, shouldn't he, Laurie? Surely, because like you said, I thought he was very, very good midweek, and he's kind of tinkered all. He's gone back to the tinker man this season, hasn't he, a little bit, Ranieri? But now's the time. He's got to stick with those guys that perform for him in midweek, because the others haven't been.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. I mean, if he sticks with those guys, I think he'll probably, you know, maybe the fans will turn. But I think he could probably have a couple that certainly, you know, came on. I mean, Slimani, I think he still is a little bit of an injury doubt to start. But I do like Gray as well. I agree with you that I think he just gives them a little bit of strength going forward. And obviously, he's got great skills and great pace. Yeah, it's a tough one to call what'll happen here, because you could see it being sort of a fairly tight affair. I think that's what Ranieri will want, a tight affair to begin with. And Clements obviously set his team up in that kind of way as well, where he's gone, although perhaps the onus will be on them here maybe to attack more. So, listen, if they attack, I remember last season Leicester went there and won 3-0, and it could have been more. You know, they were picking them off at will. So I think Clement probably would be wary to go in that route again, although obviously it wasn't him who was manager last season. I don't know, it's a really tough one to call. Before the Derby game and before the owners issued that statement, I could see this match ending in a Swansea victory easily. Now I'm not so sure. I think he might have altered slightly. I think there might be a real response from the players.
Leicester 21-10 to win the game, the draw in the market at 11-5, and the weekend's fixtures finish with Bournemouth versus Manchester City, 8 p.m. on Monday night. Bournemouth 6-1 to win the game, the draw 19-5, Man City in the betting at 4-9. Bournemouth don't like playing Manchester City, to say the least. They've lost all three of their Premier League meetings against City, scoring just once in those meetings, conceding 13 times. Beaten 4-0 twice and 5-1 on the other occasion. And they come into this having been beaten 6-3 by Everton last weekend. Eddie Howe needs to get a grip of things in terms of the defensive performance. I think they still look good going forward, but defensively they need to shore up a little bit.
Oh, hugely. I mean, the last sort of person, the last team you want to face when you're sort of, I suppose, a little bit defensively brittle is Man City. And I was just looking through the 3 goals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 times they conceded 3 goals since the end of November, which is pretty amazing, really, that they're not in deeper trouble. Obviously, the 4-3 against Liverpool was a great game, and they managed to win that one. And then they've had a couple of sort of clean sheets. But, I think Man City look a bit more on it now, don't they, with Jesus coming in, or Jesus, I'm not sure exactly how you say his name, but he's stepped up to the sort of Sergio role really well, and obviously that's created an interesting sort of story there, hasn't it, with whether he's off on his way in the summer. I do see City winning this one fairly comfortably, to be honest.
Manchester City -1 could be a player here. Manchester City -1 in the market at 11-10. And Manchester City to win and over 2.5 goals available at 4-5 as well. So a couple of possible ways in. Laurie, are you at a match this weekend?
I'm not actually. I'm off. They're giving me a rare weekend off.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Stay away from the football then for one weekend only. Laurie, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave. No, pleasure's all mine.
If you want to follow Laurie on Twitter, it's at Laurie Whitwell. You can follow myself at D. Kellner. Check out all the latest odds for the Premier League football this weekend on the William Hill website as well. And we'll be back for more FA Cup chat next weekend on the FWA podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak again soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.